Welcome all to month 12 Investable ETR briefing that covers the trading period from the 1st to the 31st of December 2023. Hopefully you will find it interesting as we look closer at what is happening within the credit group. So firstly, we will look at a trade finance originator in the marketing and entertainment sector and have a refresh on the core principles credit was built on. Next, George will show you some of the work that goes on at our deal desk and some of the potential projects him and the team are looking at. We will be looking at our monthly segments on the Seaborn reports and any updates on European and global economies and the briefing itself and some of the key information from it with some updates on credit. Lastly, Patrick will update us on some exciting news regarding the exchange traded securities or ETS that we've been working on for the last year. So our first topic, I'll hand you over to Stephen, who's a member of our trade desk.
Thanks for that, Ruby. So in today's trade desk piece, we'll be speaking about originator we've not discussed before. In line with our previous presentations, the trade desk section will focus on a notable ETR that incurred within the last month, and by doing so, demonstrate how investable funds are being utilised. In this month's briefing, we would like to discuss about a marketing and entertainment company who's involved in the fashion industry and encourages secondary school students to partake in a competition where they design, create, and model fashion made from recycled materials. The competition has been running since founded in Ireland in 2010, and they've secured official marketing partners with DHL, Eurospar, RTE, and global partnerships with Deloitte and Etihad Airways. The event has been growing strength by strength in recent years and has broken onto the international stage with competitions now held in New York, London, and Abu Dhabi. The concept of the event involves participants showcasing their eco-friendly creations, initially online and then qualifying into regional finals and then ultimately onto a grand final held in the Three Arena. A panel of industry experts, past contestants, and celebrities judge the designs, with the event televised on RTE since 2020. The live event, coupled with an active social media presence, has garnered international interest, transforming the competition into a lucrative global product with the 2024 World Final now set to take place in Monaco. The United Nations has recently praised the competition as a beacon of upcycling and a positive influence on young people's willingness to invest in ethical brands and second-hand clothing. This supports a broader movement of generation restoration driven by education of damaging practices in the textile industries and the knock-on effects on the climate. While the success story is great to hear, every business requires working capital to sustain its operations. Due to this, the company joined Credet in 2016, availing of FETR Trade Finance, where they traded sponsorship agreements with Bank of Ireland, who were their sponsor at the time. This method involves using our ETR purchase model to fund advanced ticket sales, freeing up essential working capital for this client. In this month's briefing, we were delighted to report a significant milestone with our client securing a global sponsorship deal with Deloitte worth $500,000. This sponsorship links Deloitte with a fast-growing global brand with sustainability and recycling at the heart of the business. As you would expect, the sponsorship agreement and term sheet underwent Credet's due diligence, scrutinising terms and conditions, ensuring contractual stipulations were being adhered before authorisation took place. These stipulations related directly to the debtor company's obligations as well as our client's obligations to their partner in the promotion of their content material on social media platforms, as well as all the relevant insurance covers which were stipulated and acquired. Also for this originator this year, we traded an e-waste campaign for Microsoft, which would indicate all the big corporations are adhering to their ESG policies, ensuring their names are front and centre in the media, demonstrating their environmental, social and corporate responsibilities. I will now pass you off to George so he can discuss some of our other potential transactions DealDesk are exploring and will hopefully happen in the coming weeks.
Thank you, Stephen, and good afternoon, everyone. So it's been a very interesting and exciting beginning to the new year for the DealDesk. We started 2024 speaking to some very good quality international originators with some really exciting projects indeed. As with many of our originators, we have plenty of innovative ideas coming to us and many potential deals with, say, state-of-the-art technology at its core. We're currently speaking to a Nigerian company who have manufactured a solar backpack. This company has 10 years of experience in the solar renewable energy industry. They have been involved in the planning, design, development, and manufacturing of solar photovoltaic devices and systems. This product that they have manufactured is essentially a backpack that includes solar panels built in. So the backpack is intended for use as any other backpack would for, say, college, school, work, for example. However, with the additional solar panels, the bag provides a power bank. Also, as the power is charged by the sun, it essentially acts as a power supply, which generally would be self-charging as it is, powered by the sun. And, you know, to state the obvious, there is plenty of sun in Nigeria. So it also has a USB port. It also has it's also Bluetooth app enabled. The product will be imported from China in two parts. The solar panel itself initially, and the backpack then separately, and it's then prepared as one item then for selling. The product will be sold locally in Nigeria, and the target customers are going to be colleges and schools. Another exciting company we are in discussions with and are quite far along the process with is a freight operator based in the United Arab Emirates.
Sorry, George.
Yeah.
That's not a... Yeah, sending backpacks to Nigeria to sell to schools sounds a bit crazy. But actually, you've got one company that's going to pay for them by letter of credit.
Yes.
That's kind of an important detail, because if I was listening to this, I'd be going, hang on a second, we're going to send thousands of these bags to Nigeria of all countries. So just to correct on that. Yes, we are looking at this, but the payment is by letter of credit. So we're going to supply them after the letter of credit has been issued. Sorry to interrupt, George, but it was too important to let it slide.
Yeah, understood. Thanks. So another exciting company, as I was speaking about there, the freight operator based in United Arab Emirates. This company was established in 2016, and the company has international connections in more than 70 countries for cross-border trade. This specific trade we are discussing with this freight operator involves the transportation of rice, iron ore, coal, steel, and fertilizer from suppliers in India and Thailand to then be sold to customers in East Africa. So we're also in the process of discussing a highly interesting trade involving copper concentrate. The company in question is based in South Africa. And they are commodity traders trading commodities like coal, manganese, iron ore, and African coffee beans. They also specialize in providing innovative mining logistics services to small and medium-sized mining operations in South Africa also. The specific deal we are in discussions with involves the purchase of copper concentrate from suppliers in Zambia, and then they will be sold to customers in China. So this type of copper, once the concentrate is roasted, smelted, and converted into refined copper, this results in a metal that is widely used for its high electrical and heat conductivity. So we did mention climate change in previous briefs, and keeping with that topic, we are also speaking to a company based in the Netherlands that provides coastal erosion equipment from China to hotels in Mexico. They have three products, one being a geocylinder, which is essentially a large cylinder that when filled with sand is placed into the ocean to act as a wave breaker. And they also manufacture artificial reefs and meshes that contain rocks. And these products also act as a wave breaker. To finish up then on some interesting facts about coastal erosion and climate change overall, according to Mexico's tourism ministry, the 700-mile coast of Quintana Roo is being eroded at a rate of 1.2 meters per year, with some parts actually losing up to 4.9 meters per year. So rises in sea levels driven by, you know, the climate crisis could reach 40 centimeters by 2050, meaning up to 20 meters of beach on the coast could be lost unless drastic beach restoration measures are taken. As almost all of the infrastructure in Quintana Roo is concentrated in the coastal ribbon of beach resorts. So thank you very much for your time, everyone. It's always a pleasure. And over to you now, Ruby.
Thanks, George. As always, it's nice to hear about some of the deals that you and your team are looking at. And hopefully in the future, we'll be discussing some of these in our trade section of the briefing. As discussed before, Credit will continue to stay informed on what's going on in the world when looking to write new business. Trades that are meaningful and have an impact in today's current affairs will always be available, as they are what the world and the market is focusing on. Looking to the seaborne reports that cover the major activities that affect shipping and the economy, we see that the ongoing Israeli-Hamas war has caused a lot of focus on increasing risks for all financial markets. This is leaving investors around the world patiently waiting to see if the conflict will cause issues globally, with potential to cause a further increase to oil prices and deal a fresh blow to the world economy. As stated in previous briefings, Credit currently has no direct exposure to the key countries involved in the conflict, and we will continue to monitor events and look for any potential spread to other countries in the region. The seaborne reports have stated that a port in Peru has confirmed they will start their operations late this year, providing China with a direct gateway to the region, as Beijing is the largest trade partner for South America, trading corn, soy and copper. Beijing and Lima hopes that this port in Chancay will become a regional hub for both copper exports from the Andean nation, as well as soy from Western Brazil, which currently travels through the Panama Canal or skirts the Atlantic to China, cutting many hours and days off their journey. Peru's trade minister stated that the Chancay port aims to turn Peru into a strategic commercial port between South America and Asia. The first phase of the port is set to be completed in November of this year, with many expecting this port to open new routes for exports to and from the US and Europe. So moving to the US, oil prices rose last week due to weather conditions around the country. Brent oils rose 2 cents to over $79 a barrel, while West Texas oils increased by 13 cents to over $74. It is forecasted that both oil companies will rise between 1 and 2% in the coming weeks due to global demand. The International Energy Agency's forecast states global oil demand will rise significantly through 2024. They expect world oil supply to rise by 1.5 million barrels per day to a new high of 103 million barrels per day, fueled from the US, Brazil and Canada. So to finish off this section, Seaborne's report once again holds steady their figures regarding the changes to the global fleet, with both the Handymax and Panamax set to lose over 15% of their fleet in the next 5 years and their future order book not sufficient enough to replace this loss. So if we look to the Baltic Index, it seemed to be a positive start for December, followed by a sharp decline throughout the month. The month began at 3,353, which was the highest peak for the entire year of 2023. By the middle of the month, the index weakened dramatically and was recorded at 2,558. Throughout the end of the month, the Baltic Index further declined, finishing the month of December at 2,094. Although there was a rapid decline for month 12, the figures are still providing the average number for the Baltic Index throughout 2023. We can see that there has been a slight decrease since then, with the Baltic Index now currently sitting at 1,507 as of today. If we look to the FFA markets, we can see the current spot price is $11,850, which has slightly declined since last month, which stood at $14,000. Looking into quarter one of 2024, we will continue to see that a slight drop is forecasted for the FFA markets at $11,300. It is forecasted there will be a drop of up to $975 during this quarter. Thankfully, we see the forecast for quarter two is reviving with a gradual increase to $13,300. Although there is not a significant decline forecasted for the remainder of this year, we will still see a fall, which is due to Europe's current global economy due to the ongoing effect of the consequences of COVID, Russia's war on Ukraine, the Israeli-Hamas war, and inflation. It is expected that global growth will likely slow down this year, but there are hopes throughout Europe and the US for some further rate cuts throughout 2024. In the past 12 months through to December, the US consumer prices have increased 3.4% higher after increasing back in November, which have slightly reduced many expectations of an interest rate cut in March of this year. This pace of price rises in the US have, however, slowed from its peak of 9.1% in June of 2022, and the Federal Reserve indicates a target inflation rate of 2%. The US central bank's policy rate currently stands in the 5.25% to 5.5% range after a 525 basis point hike since March of 2022. We saw that the dollar rose last week by 0.47% to 103.1, which again is weakening the expectations of any rate cuts coming in March. The Bank of America's global research team said it now expects the Bank of England to keep its bank rates on hold at 5.25% until August of this year versus its prior forecasts of February of 2025. They expect rate cuts of 25 basis points per quarter from then on. The Bank of America economist states that the UK will be the last of the major central banks to start the cutting cycle, and it is likely to move slower, at least compared with the European Central Bank. The sterling decreased 0.15% to 86.02 pence against the euro, which pulled them back from a three-week high. It is forecasted by the end of 2024 that there will be a cut of 130 basis points in interest rate cuts from the Bank of England, with the first cut likely to be in May of this year. It is forecasted that the European Central Bank will lower interest rates four times this year as inflation retreats a lot more quickly than previously anticipated. The cuts are expected to start in June, with further expected cuts in September, October, and December, bringing the deposit rate to 3%. The ECB is currently on hold as it waits to see how the 10 hikes previously passed in mid-2022 affect the Eurozone economy. The ECB forecasts that were revealed in December see inflation still at 2.6% in the final quarter of this year, then hitting 2% in the third quarter of 2025 and eventually settling at 1.9%. So moving to the last section, I will discuss the briefing itself. So you will see the figures in the first section showing the active RSA of 48.2 million euro, with 64.8 million fully allocated. If we look to the right-hand side of the briefing, we can see that the credit index has increased for the month of December to 65, and the trading figure for the month was 16.3 million euro, with all available ETR in the market fully utilised. Treasury performance rose significantly for the month of December to 20.3 million euro. And the exchange's performance again continues to jump ahead of all prior years by over 15%. Our list of top 10 largest holdings and top 10 rated once again contain regular appearances from the likes of the HSE and EKFB. At the top of the list is mining debtor CBRE and Balfour Beatty, being Balfour Beatty's 10th month in a row being the largest holding on the exchange. Geogas is a new addition to the top 10 largest list this month, while EKFB makes yet another appearance with the HSE and Atreides. Lugan Lodge and Laois County Council are showing again in this month's top 10 largest ETR holdings, with many from the CBORE group scattered throughout the list. Our donut graphs show a wide variation of our investments, with the largest sections again in wholesale and retail, health, construction and hospitality. These different sectors have familiar debtors on our top 10 largest holdings, with regular and reoccurring ones as well as new debtors being added each month. Balfour Beatty, EKFB and CBORE are our main examples of some of the companies representing the construction section, while the HSE and Lucan Lodge represent the health and community sector. These donut graphs continue to show the strong levels of diversifications employed throughout credit. So if we look to the performance sector, we see that month 12 in 2023 compared to month 12 in 2022 had decreased slightly by 3%, with 16.3 million euro traded for December of 23. This is compared to 16.9 million euro that was traded back in December of 22. Volumes remain steady for this month at just above 35%, as the value to volume ratio increased again in line with higher value and quality traded ETRs. Investor redemptions reduced again this month from previous to just over 800,000 euro, and the credit index was recorded at the average of 65. And finally, following the last briefing, our largest trade was a shipping trade this month at 1.4 million GBP. Our trend section shows the interest rate for the month running outside of the current demand fixed and term rates. We can see from the briefing that the interest rate started below 2.08% and remained steady for the first 3 weeks of the month. We then saw a decline in the last week of December with the lowest rate of 2.06%. As you will all know from previous briefings, we have increased our investable rates on offer for the three products, and with Bank of Ireland's increased deposit rate and the increasing rates from the European Central Bank, we will continue to monitor the market. So if banks continue to increase their rates, we too will continue to increase ours, so that your investors retain the advantage of investing with us. Our rates currently now stand at demand at 4.25%, fixed at 5% for 12 months and term at 19% at the end of the 36 months. This section further shows how demand for investable is starting to level off and show consistency. With the combination of the new rates and exchange traded securities, which many of you have discussed with Patrick over the last couple of months, it is predicted that this will continue to grow. And as before, the briefing document ends with the RSA figure of 48.2 million euro. And that concludes this month's briefing for 2023. So now I will hand you over to Patrick to discuss an update on the exchange traded securities.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Ruby, George and Stephen. Just very quickly, I won't keep you long. You'll recall from previous briefings that we were all but committed to creating a reserved alternative investment fund, or RAIF as it's called. However, literally in the last 2 weeks, we abandoned that project. And now we're focused on what is called ELTIF, ELTIF 2.0 to be precise. ELTIF 2.0 stands for the European Long-Term Investment Fund, and it's a pretty significant improvement to the previous ELTIF, which dates back to 2015. Anyhow, this new ELTIF 2.0 went into European law literally 2 weeks ago yesterday. This is well ahead of when it was expected, and hence our decision to abandon the RAIF that we decided on towards the end of last year. It's pretty revolutionary in terms of the alternative investment funds, or AIF, market, and every EU country must adopt the law without amendment. In other words, the central bank in Ireland can't tweak or adapt it to suit their interpretation. It's an actual EU law, and as such, is probably the biggest change in the AIF market since its inception back in 2011. So where the alternative investment funds, or AIF schemes, are not available to retail investors through this new LTIF 2.0, they now will be. So this is why it is such a significant change, because the LTIF changes all of this. And now the retail investor can access regulated alternative investments. So the EU Commission itself has 4 months to finalize the regulatory technical standards, or RTS, and put those into law as well. So that has to happen by mid-March of this year. And without laboring the point too much, there's a huge difference between a law and a directive. So, for example, if you take MiFID, which is a directive, therefore it can be interpreted, adapted, and modified by the Central Bank of Ireland. However, when it comes to the LTIF, because it's a law, it must be adopted and is not subject to interpretation. So as I said, this is the first time that retail investors will be able to access alternative investments and financial instruments through these LTIF funds. So overall, LTIF 2.0 requires a lot of work by the team here, by our lawyers, the accountants, and advisors. But in simple terms, this new mechanism allows for an order matching provision that permits the manager of the LTIF, in other words, credit, to create their own liquidity and therefore their own exchange. In other words, the LTIF law looks like it was purpose-built to meet the type of trading and the business that credit exchange has already built for investable ETR over the last 10 years. So the LTIF 2.0 permits the funds like credit to be formed like an AIF, with the ability to create shares or units. We'll be opting for units for issue to retail investors. We'll most likely use the units then to specifically target certain sections of the market and whatnot. And we'll have one maybe as a demand product, the other one as fixed, and another one as term. Again, this all has to be worked out. But basically, the LTIF, under the name Credit Securities, will be a regulated investment fund and will be well within the remit of retail intermediaries to market investable to their clients. So clearly, all very exciting. And over the next 6 months, we hope to complete this and begin our first trading of ETS, Exchange Traded Securities, within the next 6 months. So early July, please God.